Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Where were you on the 15th of April 2019 when Notre Dame was burning? Well, in this episode of Celeb Savant, we'll be going to the movies and we'll be focusing on Notre Dame on Fire. It's a 2022 disaster film based on the Notre Dame de Paris fire that occurred on the 15th of April 2019. The film is directed by Jean-Jean Arnaud and from a script written by Arnaud and Thomas Bygane. In this episode, we will be interviewing and speaking to Jean-Jacques Arnaud. He's a French film director, screenwriter, and producer, best known for directing Quest for Fire, The Name of the Rose, The Bear, The Lover, 7 Years in Tibet, Enemy at the Gates, Black Gold, and Wolf Totem. Arnaud has received numerous awards for his work, including 5 César Awards, 1 David Di Donatella Award, and 1 National Academy of Cinema Award. Arnaud's first film, Black and White in Color, received an Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film. Up next on Celeb Savant, we have got Jean-Jacques Arnaud. So this is Celeb Savant at Barrett Edelstein, and today we have the pleasure of speaking to Mr. Jean-Jacques JJ Arnaud from France. Jean-Jacques, how are you today? What's happening in your life? And tell me, why are you in South Africa?
Well, I'm in South Africa first because I love South Africa. I came here very often.
Oh, good.
And I have a new movie called Notre Dame on Fire. That is, although it could be understood as a very dramatic project of fire and firefighters, it's a sort of thriller based on true events, you know, and on true events of the rescue. But strangely enough, there is also a bit of humor in that. It's a very interesting, complex cake. You know, with good emotion. I'm quite pleased with that movie. It's the last one I've done after a large number.
And it is very a complex cake, as you called it. So many intricacies, so many scenes. I've seen the movie. It's brilliantly directed, brilliantly filmed, etc., etc. So what appealed to you to create this movie?
Well, you know, I've known this cathedral since childhood because I was a kid living in a suburb, and every week we were coming to Paris and we were stopping at the railway station. The steps were giving just in front of Notre Dame. And my parents and I are not believers, but they would love to go inside the cathedral because it was so beautiful, so big. And you know, I was just 5 years old or something like that, and I loved the smell of the incense and the sound of the organ and the beauty of the colored windows. This cathedral inspired me when I was even when I was at film school to carry on with studies of medieval art and medieval architecture. And of course, when I heard of the drama with this big fire. When I heard the unfolding of the events, I remember being in that small house where there was no TV, and because of the way the drama was told, even on the radio, I felt it was a great screenplay. To a point that I said to my wife, "Do you realize how many film directors are going to rush to make this a movie about that fire?" As a matter of fact, there were not so many people. They were interested in documentaries and not very much into getting into the heart of the suspense. And when I started reading articles, I first believed that those journalists were screenplay writers from Hollywood, that they're not. It was impossible. It was too good to be true. As a matter of fact, they were even far from reality. You know, it's as you have seen it, it's a pile of dysfunctioning. It's a total chaos everywhere. And it says a lot about our civilization, by the way, you know. Nobody believed that Notre Dame could burn because it's been there for 800 years and therefore nobody really paid attention of the danger. And as you have seen, there's an accumulation of mistakes, incredible mistakes, but it's so bizarre that I have to explain that all those elements are true. You know, I personally love true stories, you
know. Yeah.
But here, it was not credible in a way. And I would not have dared inventing those events if they had not been true. For instance, you know, the very beginning of the drama, the guy who is in charge of security, never seen a cathedral. It's his first day. He does everything that he had to do, the poor guy. But, you know, the curiosity is the fire brigade was aware of the fire half an hour after the beginning of the fire by a tourist, a friend who was calling them from Firenze, from Italy. I mean, does it make sense? It does not, but it's the truth. Another point that for me was very interesting is, you know, today you always have to make movies with female hero, and they have to be beautiful and they have to do everything good. Here in the first truck that went to rescue the cathedral, here were two women, beautiful. I would not have dared writing that, because it sounds like something you want to please the studio executives, you know, saying you have two beautiful girls in that truck. Well, it was the truth. One of the two never went to a fire.
Yeah.
And one of the kids that was with them, there were four, you know, was like 19 years old. It was also his first fire. So, and I'm just giving you three examples of something that sounds totally impossible and was strictly true. And therefore, you know, it was very exciting for me because I had the luck not to need firemen in my life. And for me, firemen were nice people coming, banging my door to sell a calendar for Christmas. Yes. I could see in their eyes that they were honest people and they were great. But now I have interviewed 168 people, among them about 100 of those real firemen that went to rescue the cathedral. And I must say, I am in awe. I have great admiration, because everywhere in the world, the firemen of are a different species. Before, we believed that they were priests. We were devoting their life for the good of others. Well, as a matter of fact, those people exist, but they're not priests anymore. They don't wear a black robe. They wear a red costume, a red uniform. And, you know, they all explain to me everywhere in the world. They say, well, you know, it's a vocation. We decided not to earn a lot of money, but when we go back home, we know that we've doing something good during our day. And that's so different from the crowd in Hollywood, where people know they make bad movies but earn a lot of money, but run to the analyst. So that's a big difference. And I fell in love. Don't get me wrong, I have lots of good friends in Los Angeles, but I really fell in love with the people who are firemen, and a lot of them are very young people. And they have decided to earn little, but to make something of value.
Yeah.
Something that makes them comfortable at home when they come back. And they're so humble, they never say, oh, today I saved a baby that fell in the river, I risked my life. No, they say nothing, but they know inside.
Yes. So you mentioned that you listened on the radio when it was happening, rolling out in 2019. Where exactly were you?
Well, you know, I was in a little house that I gave to my daughter. This little house had been built by my parents for me when I was a kid. And the TV didn't work. I just arrived, so I listened to the drama on the radio. And the reason I was turning the radio on was there was, you know, in France, we have a revolutionary tradition. We strike a lot, and also we go in the street and yell.
Sounds like South Africa.
Yes, but you have good reasons to do it. while in France, it's sort of tradition. And here, we were in the middle of a crisis called Yellow Vest.
I remember that, yes.
You know, it was quite vicious. And people were burning banks and things and cars and all that. So our president, Macron, had to give a speech. And I was waiting for that speech because I wanted to know what were the main decisions. And suddenly I'm hearing there's smoke out of Notre Dame, and then there's a big fire. And then the unfolding, as I was saying, was so captivating that I immediately realized it was like written like a screenplay.
Yes.
You know, with all the... And also another element that made me think about screenplay is, you know, on a basic Hollywood screenplay, you have to have a star, you have to have a good villain, and you have to have good people who try to help the star. Mm-hmm. Here, the star is Notre Dame. It's the most beautiful woman we had for the 800 past years. It's an international star. It's a monument that is the most visited in the world. We have a villain who is the perfect villain, fire.
Yeah.
Charismatic, photogenic, very pleasant.
Hot. It's hot.
It's hot and it's good. But also when it's becoming too hot, you're destroyed in a few minutes, a few seconds. So he's the perfect villain. You know, it's like in a movie, if you have a good-looking villain, for instance, it's a better villain than the guy who looks villain.
Yeah.
And then you have the good doctors, and they cannot have access because it's Paris. And in Paris, you know, it's way worse than in Johannesburg. You have a traffic jam. It was 6 o'clock. So that's precisely the moment where people go out of the office. And also, because there was this huge fire, people wanted to come and see it. And the French mentality is, you know, liberté, égalité, fraternité. It means freedom. Freedom is, in the mind of French, you have the freedom to do anything you want. Therefore, if you want to stop the traffic because you want to take a selfie of yourself from a cathedral, you stop the traffic. You have the liberté to do it, you know. So that meant that not only the firemen learned way too late what was happening, but they just couldn't come. And also, you know, we have narrow streets because it's district is a medieval district. I live nearby, so I can tell you all the streets are very, very narrow and winding.
Heard this beautiful, in inverted commas, screenplay playing out. You decided to then create this masterpiece of a movie. What was the process of day one, writing the script to the completed? How long did that whole process take you?
Well, it took me way shorter than before because it was confinement. So I was trapped in my country place. I had no premiere, no nothing. and I spent from 9 o'clock in the morning to late at night to write the screenplay. I had my first draft in two months. Usually a screenplay for me is a year and a half.
Okay.
And this one took me only 6 months. The thing I had to do is wait for the end of the quarantine and meet a lot of people that I couldn't meet before. Each meeting gave me such a better understanding of the reality of the danger as well, you know, because it's why there is a component of this movie that is a thriller where you feel the danger. And therefore, I had to listen carefully to what happened. You know, I'm familiar with cathedral, of course, but if you realize that the fire was at the top of the cathedral, that means 400 steps, 400. And the people, the firemen, have 50 kilos on their back.
Wow.
So it's all that in smoke. With doors that were closed. I mean, a sort of nightmare movie, you know, in a way. But with those charming young people who managed to rescue the cathedral.
And there was also the treasures in the cathedral, the old keepsakes and all those type of
things. Relics, you know.
The relics, yes. It's,
one of the relic was the most expensive object that we own in France. And most people in France didn't know that this relic was there. It's the thorn crown of the Christ.
Yes, that's right.
Or supposed to be. But in any case, you know, the French kingdom in the 12th century paid the price of 1 year of the French budget. Wow. It would be like $1 trillion today. Just amazing. But, you know, those days it was full Catholicism. And it put France, to buy this object, put France in trouble for 40 years. Even more, you know, it started a sort of decline. And that was in this cathedral. And that was, you know, if the cathedral had collapsed, it could have been rebuilt. But if that object had disappeared, that's it. It's the end of it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's why, you see that in the movie, there's a rescue operation that was quite chaotic and almost comical.
Yeah, exactly, because there was only one person who knew the keys. There were so many keys and where it is and where it's not.
Right.
So we don't want to give too much away because we want people to go see it for themselves.
Sure. That's why, you know, I'm not saying too much.
But yes.
It was, even for me, you know, I had no idea that it would be such a chaos. And it the way it's all organized, it's it goes back from the Middle Ages, you know. But you're right, I should not tell too much.
Yes. Now, where did you film a lot of the intricate elements? Obviously not. Well, did you build up a set or how?
Sure. Okay. We built up many sets, including sections of staircases, because staircases are so narrow that if you put the actors and their 50 kilos of equipment, you have no where to put a camera.
Yeah.
So I had to make imitation of those staircases. But I had very impressive sets, you know. They were, you know, the cathedral is more than 150 meters long. And some of my sets were 60, 70 meters long. It's huge sets that I put on fire. Because, you know, of course, I didn't get permission to put the cathedral on fire again.
Yeah.
But what also was very amusing to me is that I did shoot in the cathedral. I shot like 10% in the real cathedral. But most of the places I could not because there are scaffoldings everywhere or it has been destroyed or it's too dangerous. There's lead everywhere and lead is very dangerous. So I had to recreate all that or to find, should I say, body doubles.
Yes.
You know, it's a tradition in cinema. When your star is at hospital, you find for certain scene a double.
Yeah.
With same hair. And the good thing about Notre Dame is the second Gothic cathedral in terms of when it has been built. The very first Gothic cathedral in the world is from a little city that is 100 kilometers south of Paris. And my country place is close by. So I know this very first cathedral, which was imitated by Notre Dame. And they use the same architect. So on certain angles, the high angles, meaning the camera being high and looking down, I used did a lot of shots in this cathedral. They have exactly the same pattern on the ground.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the columns are almost the same. And then I would bring my own columns, the imitation of Notre Dame columns and pillars, and covering those pillars and columns in the Sens Cathedral. Now, for the shot from low angle, camera low, looking up to the vaults, I picked a cathedral that is not the mother of Notre Dame, but the sister of Notre Dame, which is in Bourges. Beautiful cathedral. where I had permission to put some smoke. I even had all the bottom I transformed into a swimming pool. I had the authorization.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So a lot of those scenes, extremely similar to Notre Dame, but were shot in that other city. And everything that burns has been recreated on a soundstage. So we're talking huge, huge sets.
Yeah.
You know, just to give you, we had 200 people working only on sets. Plus, our own production. But of course, we had another 200 people working in different companies, working for us. And I had a rather large unit, like 300 people in the unit, because, you know, when you deal with smoke, fire, wind, it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
When you see melted lead and all that, also, you know, it's burning. It's those kind of movie can end up in a tragedy. I have a scene where I had 75 cubic meters of timbers and stones and all and plaster and all that falling down in the middle of a cathedral. I shot it live, but of course in a studio.
Yeah,
and. You know, to do a scene like that requires like renting the space 3 months in advance, because you have to build everything, but you also have to build the what's going to hold all that stuff that's going to fall.
Yes, yeah.
And also you have to check all the dangers, the possible dangers, and how do you manage, you know, when you have 75 square meters, cubic meters, in heavy flames. We're talking flames that could be like 20 meters high. So after 2 minutes, there's no more oxygen in the set. You have to run. We're like cosmonauts.
Wow.
And we had horns going, when we had a little machine that would tell us if there was still enough oxygen. And it was, as a matter of less than 2 minutes. So I had to make sure that from the moment I asked to start to light all the equipment, to the moment everybody evacuates the studio, it was less than 2 minutes. But I managed to do it. I shot that scene for 17 cameras.
Wow. 17 cameras?
17, yeah. But, in the old days, 17 cameras was almost impossible because they were huge cameras.
Yes.
When I did The Name of the Rose, for instance, I had a big fire. I had only 7 cameras because there were 35 millimeter camera. Therefore, they were big. You need to have a camera operator and all that. Now, you can have all kind of smaller camera.
Yes.
And if you burn one, it's I should say only $100. So it's not the same thing. You burn a Panavision camera.
Yeah.
I don't know. Almost $1 million. You know. So here. I used the standard big cameras, like I had 10 of those, but the 17, the 7 others were small camera hidden under the seat or among the burning stuff. And we created some boxes, ventilated,
yes,
that remained, some of them, for 3 days under the ashes. And the images survived because we had this system. It was like a very strong air conditioning, and the camera didn't melt. I had melted a number of cameras in my life.
Wow.
But not this time.
Moving beyond Notre Dame, what's next for Jean-Jacques?
Well, next is going to be decided in a few days now.
Okay.
But I'll tell you why it lasted so long. You know, our business is going through a difficult moment.
Mm-hmm.
Since the pandemic, people stopped going to cinema because it was closed.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, in the meantime, they bought, they invested in a large screen and a good sound system.
Yeah.
And because cinemas were closed, there was no film being made, and when the cinema reopened, there was nothing really appealing to go, and people were used to look at the platforms, and you know, my real, my life has been a life of big screens.
Yes.
I did the first IMAX 3D movie with actors and all that. So that's something I love mastering. But as you know, I need big budgets to make those movies. I want to make sure that the situation is such that we can afford to make the films of my dream.
Yes.
And, well, I normally would have an answer before the end of the month.
Okay, lovely. I'm gonna put you on the spot now.
Right, okay.
I love playing this game. Or are there any specific actors, actresses that you have yet to work with that you'd like to collaborate with and direct and produce movies with?
No.
No?
The reason is, when I write, I never write for an actor.
Okay.
Why? Because if I write for an actor, I will write with a preconception,
yes,
of what this actor is. And if this actor has been a perfect policeman, am I going to write another policeman story for this actor?
Okay.
No. It would be much better that he's a vagabond somewhere in Nepal. You know?
Yes.
Because then he would be excited.
Yeah.
And then, when I'm finished writing, I'm saying, okay, who could be playing this? And now, I'm not so much actor-dependent.
Okay.
And therefore, you know, I love working with famous actors. I love even more to working with great talent. But sometimes very famous actors are also great talents.
Yes.
But they're also great talents that are perfectly unknown or beginners. And I love it as much. You know, when I did a movie like The Lover years ago, called L'Amant in French, it was a story of a innocent young girl in Vietnam falling in love with a Chinese aristocrat guy. I couldn't find the actors, and I was ready not to do the movie. But a miracle happened. I saw one girl. She had never done even a video.
Yeah.
Never been on set before, and she was great, and I hired her, and the movie did extraordinarily well. And same thing for the Chinese man. You know, it's very difficult to find in those days some actors with a lot of dignity,
yeah,
being Chinese, because in those days, English-speaking actors who were from Asian origin were always offered to be taxi drivers or drug dealers, you know.
Yes.
And they had to do kung fu.
Yeah.
And I could see those guys. They were intellectually very elegant.
Mm.
I said, why do you have all those muscles? He said, well, listen, if not, I have no job.
Yeah. The stereotype of the labels.
Stereotype of the labels. Asian in the, in the old days, yes. So you know, one of the pleasures of my life is to direct actors. I like to immerse myself in their soul, in a way, you know, because if I direct a young girl, I have to think that I could have been a young girl.
Yeah.
If I direct a monk, like in Name of the Rose, I've never been a monk, but I have to, you know, a movie that is still very much seen called The Bear, where, you know, the main character is a bear. Am I a bear? A portion of myself, yes. And am I a baby bear? Well, I can identify.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. US, UK, South Africa. As a final message to our listening audience, what would you like to say?
To enjoy themselves.
Yes.
And I also hope that cinema will be able to provide films that will allow them to escape for 2 hours in another world that will leave their heart full of hope.
Brilliant. I love that. So dropping the mic on that, this is Celeb Savant signing out with Jean-Jacques Annaud. Thank you very much.
Thank you.